Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Burn Babylon, Police Raids, Stigma, and Repression. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. To live as Rasta in Babylon was to live under siege. They did not wear uniforms, nor carry rifles. Their weapons were words, herbs, and rhythm. But that made them no less dangerous, at least in the eyes of the state. By the 1940s and 50s, Rastafari had grown from whispers in the hills to a movement with a pulse. Its symbols were visible, its followers unmistakable. The locks, the herb, the chants, the reasoning, the refusal to salute the Union Jack. The rejection of the queen, the public denouncement of Babylon's false god. They were poor, loud, black, proud, and that was enough. The colonial system, and later the post-independence Jamaican government, saw in Rastafari not a religion, but an insurrection. One that couldn't be reasoned with. One that would not assimilate. And so it was marked for eradication. Police raids became commonplace. They stormed into homes at dawn, burned down thatched huts in the hills. Ripped dreadlocks from scalps, smashed drums, confiscated herb, beat men in front of their children, locked up prophets without charge. The goal was not just to destroy, but to humiliate. To send a message, Rasta must not rise. One of the darkest chapters came in 1963, in a place called Coral Gardens. What began as a land dispute escalated into a brutal crackdown. Following a violent incident, Prime Minister Bustamante gave the chilling order. Bring in all Rastas, dead or alive. And they did. Hundreds were rounded up, beaten, tortured, some killed, some disappeared. Their only crime, wearing locks, burning herb, speaking of Africa, believing in a god that looked like them. The mainstream media painted them as madmen, deviants, cultists, black heart men, they called them. Teachers told students that Rastas were dangerous. The church declared them heretics. Landlords refused to rent to them. Employers shut doors. Mothers crossed the street with their children. Even the newly independent Jamaican government saw Rastas not as visionaries, but as threats to social order. And still they chanted. Still they burned the chalice. Still they gathered in circles and reasoned through the fire. Because persecution only deepened the faith. It sharpened the doctrine. It intensified the commitment. Babylon could raid a house, but it couldn't raid a soul. It could burn a drum, but it couldn't silence the heartbeat. It could jail a prophet, but not the prophecy. Rastafari was never about comfort. It was born in the crucible. And through every lash, every prison cell, every insult, and every smear, it grew. The movement wasn't weakened by repression. It was refined by it. And so the fire was no longer just a metaphor. It became literal, sacred, a cleansing flame, a declaration, burn Babylon, not with matches, but with truth, with resistance, with holy living in the face of hate. They tried to bury Rasta, but they didn't know it was a seed.